Tuesday morning in Las Vegas. This is LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Taylor Byrne, Case Kiefer. Welcome to the show. A lot to talk about today, guys. UFC back at it finally, I guess, after the cancellation of 151. They're going to Toronto for UFC 152 this weekend, and the Suns' Case Kiefer's all over the UFC. But before we get there, the topic on everybody's mind is UNLV football, 0-3. Some people calling for the coach's head. I will say that even in defeat last week to Washington State, there were signs of improvement. Our favorite quarterback, Nick Sherry, looked like he has an arm that could complete passes. And it's not as bad as – it's 0-3, and 0-3 is bad. But – at least it's not 0-3 losing by 40 or 50 points, which we've seen in past seasons.
Usually that's useful at the quarterback position, an arm that can complete passes.
Which UNLV arguably hasn't had in a while.
It's a good thing to have. You're right. They didn't quit on Saturday – or, sorry, Friday night, which I think is – you just have to look for things to be positive about if you're a UNLV fan right now, because they're at 0-3. Not looking like they're going to get a win anytime soon. It's going to take stealing one. And, I'm sure people have thrown this out there, but 0-13 is a possibility. It's not likely. I wouldn't say it's likely for any team to lose all of its games, but it's they're gonna have to steal something. And then, you can't mark down that New Mexico game. That's the one we kept pointing at early November, because up between now and then, they've got Air Force at home, a couple of road games that, I don't think any of us think they're going to win. You got home against UNR, which do you already have your ticket in for that game?
I've got UNLV plus 16.
Go ahead and throw that away.
They cover at home. I don't care.
They do. Bobby Houck does nothing but cover against D1 teams at home. I'll give him that.
I think that's what we talked about Sunday was his one redeeming quality is he covers at home against widely lined opponents. But you can go ahead and throw away your over 2.5 wins. I think it's safe to
say. I thought that was a good bet at the beginning of the year.
I did not.
Case, you can't win them all, all right?
I'm going to root for you in the UNR game. If you go 1-1 on two UNLV football bets, I consider that a success.
Case, if you rooted for UNR, we'd have to have a serious conversation.
Going back to the Washington State game, it couldn't have started any worse for UNLV in the regards that they committed penalties on the first three plays from scrimmage. And it was just a disaster. And they stopped that drive with an interception. Washington State eventually opened it up. Their Mike Leach passing attack did what it was supposed to do. But UNLV came back. We talked about Sherry a little bit. He was, I think, 16 of 23, maybe even 17 of 23 in the first half. He looked pretty good. He was finding Marcus Sullivan. He was finding Phillips. He just looked like in rhythm. And the best thing that he did, or the progress that I've seen, is really when the pass rush, or early on with a pass rush, he just got completely flustered, was getting sacked a lot, was just getting hit. I haven't seen guys get hit that much as he did in that first that Minnesota game. But on Friday, he was able to kind of sidestep the rush, keep his eyes downfield, find guys. The throws weren't always great, and there were still a lot of drops at the other end of it. But he did a really good job of just handling that rush better. And that's, that's your positive to take out of it. But when it still comes up in a loss, how much does that really matter at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you're 100%.
And it matters more long term. But like we said, this schedule gets harder from here. These were those three games you could have won. I don't think, do you think they're staying within two touchdowns of Air Force?
Air Force obviously looked impressive when they played at Michigan, and Air Force is in my opinion.
And they've now had a week. They had a bye week.
Yeah,
there,
Air Force, in my opinion, is a top three team in the league. They always travel well when they play UNLV because Nellis Air Force Base is here, and UNLV. I think in their favor, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is that Air Force doesn't throw the ball too well. UNLV can't stop.
Oh, that's
the
completely
pass.
In their favor. Yes.
But UNLV traditionally not that good with the run. I will tell you, and folks, you're listening to LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk right here on 91.5 KUNV. I'm Ray Brewer alongside Case Kiefer, Taylor Byrne. We're here every Tuesday. This time of the year, we're talking UNLV football and, quite frankly, trying to find something to be positive about. And I'll tell you, Taylor, UNLV traditionally always puts up a semi-decent fight against Air Force. Whether if that means they have a chance to win, I'm not sure. I do like the fact that you pointed out that they haven't quite quit. And so what? They're 0-3. The games have been close. You know, they triple overtime to Minnesota, the embarrassment to NAU where they were in it, and against Washington State where arguably if a few things changed, they would have had a chance.
Yeah. And I was there, and it never really felt like UNLV was ever going to be in a position to win that game. But it was, you know, it was close. They kept it within striking distance. They had essentially like a Hail Mary at the end that could have, you know, potentially set up a tie. It was somewhat close. They did cover. Washington State fans, which numbered, you know, 5,000 to 7,000, something like that. The total attendance was a little over 17, and just UNLV fans, that was, you know, maybe 10, something like that. But the Washington State fans towards the end were chanting one more point. Because they had all come to town and
don't you love
and laid the points. Oh, it's great.
Isn't this great? Here's the deal with UNLV guys. Okay, yeah, they're 0-3, but what happens if they beat Air Force on Saturday? Now they're one and oh in league play. Right? I mean it's a nugget of hope to hang in front of the players to keep them interested and keep them motivated.
Yeah, I mean, that works for now, but what happens then when they're 0-4 and 0-1 in league play? And then, you know, you go back on the road where eventually one of these games is not going to be close, where, they're just going to get destroyed. It's probably that Louisiana Tech game,
I was just going to say, right as you said that, I said, why can't they beat Louisiana Tech?
You're funny, right?
Louisiana Tech is no powerhouse.
Louisiana Tech's very good.
Louisiana Tech might hang 70.
Louisiana Tech scores a ton of points. Last year won their division. We're 11-1 against the spread. They've already, you know, beat up on Rice last week. I got to say.
Everybody beats. I think you and I.
Except KU.
Louisiana Tech wins by 4 touchdowns. Yeah. At least.
That's the one.
All right.
I think the biggest key for the rest of the season for UNLV may be how they respond from that game, because all these close losses, that is maybe more frustrating than a blowout loss, but they have showed that they can at home at least come back from that and keep fighting. What happens when they go on the road and probably, you know, get annihilated? How do they respond from that?
Exactly. And, you know, if you just look further on in the schedule, Cal Poly beat Wyoming this past week.
I say Wyoming's the conference games that are, you know, possibilities for them. New Mexico.
Reno.
Is at home.
Stop
talking.
Okay.
No chance.
New Mexico. At Colorado State. That, you know, Colorado State's not very good. But UNLV on the road. Enough said with that. Wyoming, you know, maybe there's a chance with that one. You know, at San Diego State, I'm certainly not expecting it. But if you're looking at, you know, another road game where maybe they can hang in it and steal one, they need to steal one somewhere. Like, I completely believe that, and that's maybe the best shot besides those other ones. But that's you're just looking at all these, you know, could they get this? Maybe they could get that.
What about Hawaii?
That's a point. Who knows what either of those teams are going to look like at that point? That one's so far away. I'm pretty certain UNLV is not going to have anything to play for as far as bowl game or anything like that. What will Hawaii be in? Shape-wise, it's Thanksgiving. Will they care? You know, that's certainly something where once we get closer, we can take a look at that. I have no idea on that right now. I'm certainly not marking it up for UNLV.
1-12, mark it down. They'll beat someone. They won't beat more than someone.
That's but my who opinion. Is that I think someone?
I think Wyoming or New Mexico, I think they'll win one of those two games.
Mm-hmm.
And I have them for losses in the rest.
Okay.
Well, at this point, I think that's very fair.
All right, everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
What's
yours?
No, 6-6?
No.
7-6?
If they go 7-6.
Vegas Bowl.
That would be an improbable turnaround. Listen, I understood in past years when, and everybody knows I'm a huge UNLV football homer, and like everybody in town, I was super negative about the team after the disastrous result against Northern Arizona. But the truth is that it's a team that doesn't know how to win right now. It's not like they're getting destroyed like years past. It's just they just don't know how to finish quite yet. And I think that the good play is going to keep them around in some games. And as the season wears on and other teams maybe lose interest, if this team could keep its interest, I still think they could win two or three games. I mean, I still think that, okay, they're not going to beat Boise. They're not going to beat Utah State. They're not going to beat Louisiana Tech, as you guys have pointed out. Why can't they beat Hawaii that's awful? Why can't they beat Wyoming? Why can't they beat Colorado State? Why can't they beat New Mexico? Why can't they even put up a good fight this weekend against Air Force? I mean, something's going to have to bounce their way. They're you know, they are what they are, and that's not a good team. But they're not what they were in years past, which was a crappy team with the ability to quit so easily.
Here's a couple things that Bobby said after the game. This is UNLV coach Bobby Houck. Said, we're not a good team. We're not a bad team. We're an average team that has just fallen on the wrong side of the ledger three times, which I think is this, you know,
A reach at best.
Yeah, it's definitely a reach, but, you know, I agree that they're not a good team.
And I don't agree that they're not a bad team in no way, shape, or form. They're one of the 10 worst teams in the nation, and that's being generous. Probably one of the worst five.
I don't disagree with that.
You can't. I mean, well, how could you possibly? They lost to Northern Arizona.
He's ready to disagree.
I'm not. It is what it is. They're 0-3, and they lost to Northern Arizona.
I think stylistically, to get back to this game, and sorry if you had something else to say, but I think it is encouraging that Air Force doesn't throw the ball that well, but I know you said traditionally UNLV gives them a good matchup. I guess I'm just thinking the last 3 or 4 years since I've been here, it doesn't seem like they've ever really had a chance to beat Air Force. Seems like even though Air Force doesn't throw the ball well, it really seems like they push UNLV around. Am I wrong? Seems like they're just kind of a hard-nosed, like, more physical team.
And Air Force
seems
like is UNL- like Arborview.
Yeah, it seems like UNLV's gotten bullied.
Well, and UNLV's Mojave.
Yeah, UNLV's just kind of gotten bullied, and I think that's probably what's going to happen this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know how you switch from preparing for that passing attack to suddenly, you know, Air Force's ground game. Because, you know, it doesn't get much different than those two.
Well, listen, if maybe even Air Force could throw in UNLV because their secondary has been below average at best.
Yeah.
An absolute embarrassing. And you'd mention,
yeah, below average is pretty kind.
Yeah, you mentioned all those penalties early on in the game, and that's a direct result of not being able to defend.
Well, that's just not coming into the game ready at all. You know, but the going back to the other thing that Bobby said, is when we were talking about how they're still kind of fighting at these games. They haven't turned into blowouts yet. Says
my favorite line. We always try hard. We got a locker room full of kids that are hard workers here.
No. This was the last thing he said in his presser, and it was pretty funny. He mentioned that and how he's got kids young that are buying in, and with a few more years in the program, and if everyone stays employed, then they can keep building on things.
Oh, boy.
He just slipped it in there and then basically dropped the mic and walked out. It was real good.
Kids that are buying in.
I like the "and as long as we can all stay."
Yeah, I thought that's hilarious too, but I love the buying in cliche. Where are they buying in? At the dollar store? That's about the quality we're getting right now.
Case Kiefer's bringing it today.
Yeah, that's fine. He's an SEC snob.
An SEC snob, you lost to Northern Arizona and Southern Utah within a year. And you're defending this team, this program?
I'm not defending.
A lot of Big Sky teams can't even say that.
I'm just saying they're not as bad as you think they are.
All right.
They're not. They're losing close games. They're in every game.
Washington State is awful. Almost lost to Eastern Washington. Minnesota is a total disaster. Probably the worst FBS team. Well, maybe Washington State's worse, but I think
Minnesota's
probably
win this
worse.
Weekend?
Yeah, a close game with Western Michigan. Minnesota 3-0. There you go. Minnesota 3-0. Congrats to the Gophers out there.
Hey, they might steal a bowl game.
I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to call it like it is.
I'm not asking you to sugarcoat it, but I mean, I just don't think they're as bad as you think they are. I mean, they're bad.
Do you think that this team, this UNLV team, is better or worse than the UNLV team last year?
Better, no doubt.
I'm not asking you.
Well, the people can't see where you're – this is radio.
I said Case.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Case.
See, maybe slightly better. I think it would be a great game. I think maybe this year's team is a 2-point favorite. The last year's team had Philip Payne, at least, better than anyone on this year's team. Oh, but he was a malcontent. We got the malcontents out of here, so now we're so good.
Just to be clear.
I think they're both equally pretty bad. Last year's team had a really tough schedule. What if last year's team had this year's schedule? They probably put up a better record than 1-12, which is going to happen this year.
Maybe 4 wins or something. Just to be clear, malcontent was not the word from any UNLV people. That was put in their mouths by another media member.
Okay, well, I
understand that, but you've used that 2 weeks in a row, so I just want to throw that out.
These are secondhand, but okay, malcontent, not the exact word, but I have heard.
Yes, you're right about the general.
We got the bad seeds out of here. We got the kids that don't want to work hard out of here. And I don't know.
It's a hard working 0-3 case.
If this team wins 2 or 3 games, especially like 2 in a short time, I will come in here and praise them. I will come in here and say so many good things, but I just have to call it like it is, and I'm so down. There's no reason that a team in Las Vegas should be this bad at football. I'm sorry, Ray. I know you love the program, but they're just so bad, and it just bothers me so much. Washington State is not good. They only lost by 8. They only lost by 8 because they scored a garbage touchdown at the end of the game. Washington State came in here and beat you down by 15 points. One of the worst teams in FBS. Yes, and you are sugarcoating it. This is why I said they shouldn't win, is because people go, oh, there's progress on the program. There's no progress.
If you score a touchdown during the 60 minutes of the game, that doesn't count?
Oh, it counts, but it's not like it was close.
They lost by 8. They didn't lose by 15.
Did it ever look like they were going to win? Because I was following – I wasn't there.
No.
I didn't watch it, but I was following the game closely on my phone because – I really am bought into this team. I want to see how they do, and I never once got the feeling, judging on tweets by Taylor, other media members, looking at it on my stat tracker, I never got the feeling, oh, they have a chance to win.
No, it was close, like I said earlier, but you never felt like, hey, they might pull this out. That was never my feeling during the game and other people that I talked to in the press box. That's just the thing we keep talking about. They're hanging tough and still doesn't matter.
And maybe I'm wrong, but I think where we're disagreeing the most is I feel like Washington State is a bad enough team to where if you were hosting them at home, you should be in the game and you should have a chance to win, and I never thought they had a chance to win.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, getting animated talking about UNLV's deficiencies.
It's so nice how we're sitting, because you got Brewer on one side, Taylor in the middle, and me on the other side, which is like the perfect visualization of what's going on here.
You know, Case, if UNLV pulls out a couple big victories or something, maybe we can bring in some cupcakes and candles, except I'll be buying the candles, not you.
No trick candles?
We can't trust you. You buy trick candles.
That strength of schedule just took a big way up with that Western Michigan win by Minnesota. Such a triumphant victory by the Golden Gophers this weekend.
I think that's one of the big problems is that, listen, UNLV isn't playing – this isn't a major college football team. It's not playing major college football. Minnesota, Washington State, Northern Arizona, those are teams that they should be playing against. I mean, they're never going to be – going into Georgia or wherever.
But if they want to step forward, they should be not just playing against those teams, but winning some of them.
They have taken a step forward. They went from getting absolutely blown out, running clock, 60-point losses, 40-point losses, to being competitive.
2 years ago, they led Wisconsin at halftime to start the season.
Again. Okay, you're right.
What again? Where was that going?
I mean, I saw more promise in the first year of this experiment with Halleck than I do this year. And that's the thing I'm so disappointed.
I mean, my only criticism of Bobby, and I've said this to everybody, is that he recruits like he's still in Montana. I mean, California is right next to Nevada. They have kids there that could run fast and who could catch the football. And
you keep saying that like there's no California kids on this roster.
No good ones. And if you look at the skill positions, they've got maybe – 2 skill players that I would take with me to the to next season.
Tim and Marcus?
Well, 3.
Oh, we're counting Nick.
Well, Nick doesn't. Okay, 4.
I feel so bad.
Who did I not name?
My guy.
Anthony Williams.
That guy's a real player. De La Salle. He can run. He can catch.
You don't care about anything except where he went to high school. That's completely how you picked it.
They're in the top 25 every year. Go take their 4th wide receiver. He's better than anything you got.
I feel so bad being negative, too, because I love Tim Cornette. Generally one of my favorite genuinely, not generally, excuse me, one of my favorite players in college football, but he's just stuck in a terrible situation.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. Speaking of being stuck in a terrible situation.
Ooh, this is going to be a great
look at this transition.
That was my my sentiments yesterday during the NFL. Have the sports wagering app from one of our local sportsbook providers. Could not get it on. And I was absolutely devastated that it's like one of the first times since I was 18 that I didn't have regular action on the NFL.
To be fair, isn't this a little bit like complaining about Wi-Fi on an airplane like 2 weeks after you can first get Wi-Fi on an airplane? Like all this, the mobile betting stuff
that everybody's kind of rolling out. More than a year.
Okay. That's just changed, right? They're kind of implementing a lot of new stuff. There's going
to
be
the only complaint we can make that we can make is that I waited till 8 o'clock Sunday to put the wager in when
that's
the lines
like
2 hours
were out before though.
But the lines were out all week.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, we wanted to talk briefly about gambling here on the show because online at LasVegasSun.com, we've released a weekly NFL handicapping column where Taylor
and
Case and myself.
If you want to win, just do the opposite of everything I do.
We each pick 6 games. Taylor, who's in his first full season of NFL handicapping at Vegas Sportsbooks, is 2-10. Case and I are about 6-6 each.
I'm actually 5-7 by a half point.
I'm 5-7.
So devastated. So you were in the lead.
By a half a point the first week in that Cardinal game over. Anyways.
Oh yeah,
you could have been 1-1.
Yeah, I had the under in that.
Yeah. So you were in the lead through 2 weeks. Yeah. 15 to go.
15 to go. So the way it works is each week we pick 6 NFL games, either the total or the side. We put our picks up every Friday. We ask that you comment, give us your opinions, your takes. We do put a little time into research in this. It's just not, like my UFC picks where I just say, oh, this guy is bigger than this guy. I'll take him.
I'm not sure if I should try harder in this so that I can actually get better or if I should just keep doing with my same system so that people can trust that they can bet on the opposite side of me and win.
I didn't even know you had a
decisions,
system.
Decisions in life.
Oh, no, it's about a minute of looking at things. Well,
how are you guys totally not changing the subject, but the Hilton contest, is your entry still alive and well?
We're right in the middle.
500.
5-5.
5-5.
So we need to have a good week.
Who did you guys have last week?
Who are our wins?
Or this past
year? Our wins were Seahawks and the Bills. We went 2-3 this last week.
And who were the losses?
We should get bonus points for having 2 really easy wins.
Yeah. Eagles.
Would have never tip.
what were the other losses? Patriots.
And the Titans.
Ooh, I love the Chargers and the Ravens, so we would have been torn.
The Titans one was terrible. I felt very strongly about the Titans, which was really bad. The Patriots just played terrible. And the Eagles just absolutely deserved to cover. I don't know how you rolled your eyes at that one. They turned the ball over, 4 times, and they still beat them?
Well, it's because Baltimore plays good defense, and Mike Vick's careless with the ball.
Pretty clear who the better team was. Yeah, clear if they play again on the neutral field that the Eagles should be favored by 4 or 5.
The toughest part about that, though, was that was the final games we were picking between was the Eagles or the Steelers laying 6 against
Ray
the Brewer Jets.
Steelers.
So watching, the one that we pick lose and then the one we were considering win, that's tough. I don't like that at all.
LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk, our handicapping hours off or on or whatever it is. It's always fun. It's always fun to have a little action on the games. I realized that when I ended up getting – I logged on late at night, like with – 10 minutes to go in the Lions 49ers game. I'm like, all right, let me see if it works now. Maybe there was too many people. Put a $2 bet in on the Lions plus 11 in-game wagering. I hit it, so I end up making about $250.
Yeah, there you go.
On the day, $2.50.
That's a good day.
So switching gears here briefly, we got about 5 minutes left in the show. The UFC returns to the Octagon Saturday night in Toronto after the Labor Day card 151 falling through the cracks. I kind of miss it, Kiefer. I know this is as much inactivity as they've had in at least in 2 years, I think. At least it feels that way.
Yeah, they've had 2 long stretches this year without a card. The before Atlanta, they had a lot of time to lead up to it, too. But this might be even more. I actually think they are both 6 weeks. But, hey, I'm glad I could be fired up about something positive instead of something negative on this show. It's going to be a great card. It's kind of like those UFC cards of a couple years ago. There weren't so many that they were watered down, but there aren't – basically what I'm trying to say is there's a lot of really good fights on it. The top three fights are all big time. There's two title fights, John Jones versus Vitor Belfort for the light heavyweight title, Joseph Benavidez and Demetrius Johnson for the first flyweight title, and Brian Stann and Michael Bisping, which people are really looking forward to. Middleweight, whoever wins will be right in the middle of the title picture. So three huge fights, some other good ones. I can't wait, and I know Brewer, you're even familiar probably with all those three fights. What are you looking for out of those?
Well, I'm like everybody else. I'm just really curious to see John Jones's return. I know that the spotlight has been on this guy since the summer rather negatively with his DUI arrest, everything that happened in the most recent fallout of 151. No matter what side of the poll you landed on, you know, should he have fought whoever just to be the man at the fighter? Because he's John Jones, he could kind of say, hey, listen, I'm not going to fight someone I'm uncomfortable with without being able to prepare in 3 days. So just to see this guy and to see what a star he is, I think he needs to go out there and make a statement and really dominate. Obviously, he's got the Nike money coming in. He's going to be wearing the Nike flag for the first time in the octagon. And I just think if there is a star right now in the sport, he's young, he's athletic, he's long. He's the guy that could take the reins and really maneuver it. So he needs to come out big, and I'm looking forward to that. And I don't know, the new belt that they've created or the new weight division, anytime somebody has a chance to compete for a title like that, I think is awesome. The look on these guys' face when they win a belt for the first time, it to me is awesome. I love celebrations, guys, in all sports. I really do. Just to see the pure joy of their hard work paying off. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's just about the glory right there. So for me, that's pretty cool.
You made one really good point about John Jones being covered in Nike in the Octagon for the first time. It's so funny because when UFC 151 was coming up, we may have even talked about it on the show, everyone was saying, wow, it's going to be so cool to see what kind of stuff Nike puts John Jones into. What kind of uniform is he going to have at the weigh-ins? Where are the swooshes going to be on the shorts? Now no one's even talking about that because, of course, he refused the fight with Chael Sonnen. UFC 151 got canceled. Now everyone is just like either taking his back and defending him against Dana White, who is adamant he should have taken the fight, or they're bashing the guy. I can't wait to boo him in Toronto. So a whole lot of things kind of getting lost in the shuffle here. Obviously been a ton of controversy, but at the end of the day, this controversy could be good for them. I think they'll probably sell a few more pay-per-views with people, with this story. It's been on SportsCenter multiple times, and seems like it's gotten a lot of publicity.
It will, and I think when it's all said and done, the Nike swoosh will be out there pretty prominently. I am curious, because I'm a guy, I always go back and forth what I feel comfortable in, Under Armour or Nike, but I'm interested to see what kind of gear they have for the guy.
Do you really have to pick?
I'm a Nike guy.
I think I, on any given day, am wearing about three or four different ones.
Yeah, I mean, I like whatever's cheaper at Marshall's, but...
that's fair.
For whatever that's worth. But I'm interested to see, like, what kind of line of gear they have available after this fight, and are people going to go out, the MMA posers, and buy everything?
Is this Nike's first foray into MMA? Is
that the deal? Well, they have regional coverage with other guys. This is the first global. John Jones is a global deal with Nike.
Speaking of global, we'll be back next week on LasVegasSun.com Sports Talk. You can listen to us online on our site whenever you want, though.